Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And I love seeing so many of you here bright and early. Again, please silence your phones. Welcome to the workshop titled Grateful for What I Have. My name is Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. I'm from Oakland, California. Hi. Let's say, those who wish to, the serenity prayer. And maybe let's do the we version. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not ours, be done. All right, I want to make sure I am. All right. I chose the title Grateful for What I Have because that's the title of yesterday's daily reflection reading. I'm grateful for the chance to explore some of the concepts that support our abstinence and recovery. Humility is the key to sustained abstinence and recovery. Gratitude is linked to humility. We'll discuss how humility, trust, acceptance, compassion, and gratitude are essential concepts in the recovery journey. So Kendall, Mary, and I will talk for 10 minutes, and then we'll have time for anyone else. There is no absence requirement to speak at a workshop to share after we do our shares on the concept of humility.
And are we qualified? Okay, you can qualify if you want or not.
Okay, I'll do a brief, brief call. Can you hear me? Is that on? Hi, it's so good to be with all of you. It's really a joy. I don't have any live meetings where I live, so it's like, oh, my people. I'm with my people, you know. It's really a wonderful, wonderful feeling. I lived in the darkness of this disease for a long, long time with the hiding of food and the sneaking of food. And I think I came out of the womb that way, really. I was a 12-pound baby, and I was a fat kid and a fat teenager and an up-and-down fat adult, up-down, up-down, up-down my whole adult life. This is the first time ever that I've maintained a weight loss, and I've had 150 pounds off for 6 years. So, it's a new life, let me tell you. It's a new life in every way, in every way. So that's just a brief qualification. But I love the topic of gratitude. When Susan said what the topic was, I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. I can do that. I can talk about gratitude. I tie it very much with negative thinking. It's like the antidote for negative thinking because you cannot be grateful and negative at the same time. It's impossible. So that's why we really do focus in, you know, we focus in, and really, it's like a series of choices that we make every day. There's so many times, even my little granddaughter, who is a magical little kid, and we were in our local arboretum at Penn State, and we were walking around, and I love that place. I love the trees, the flowers, the plants. I love all of it, and I walk there often, and she likes it too. And I started grumbling about construction nearby because I didn't want the noise or the mess or any of that interfering with my wonderful feeling about the arboretum. And she said, yeah, but do you hear the birds? Do you see the sky? Did you see that blossom? And I went, you go, girl. That's, you know, I mean, she was six when this happened, six. And I told her later, honey, if you can hold on to that, you're going to be happy and everybody around you is going to be happy. I mean, it's really, it is the way to live. And I just thought about all the choices that we make every day. Like, my husband had a long, horrible illness, and he's gone. But when he was alive and healthy, some of his eating habits made me feel homicidal, really. I mean, you know, I could go there. I could go there and say, you know, or I could focus on he was a toddler whisperer. He could just get down on the floor and work magic with toddlers, you know, and he was very, very well informed and well read, and he was smart. And there were all those things I could focus on, but I would choose this mistake he made with money, or, you know, I mean, I don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to live like that. It really is a choice to be grateful for what we have instead of sorry for what we don't have. I am aging, as you can see, and some of my serious things like eyes and ears are starting to fail. And that's a little terrifying, but I don't want to focus on that. Instead, I want to focus on, look at this healthy body despite all the years of abuse I did to myself. I mean, a lifetime of abuse with food. And I'm walking tall. I'm alive, for one thing. I didn't kill myself with it. And I'm, you know, I work out and I'm healthy and my body's going strong and I can take long walks. And so I want to focus on that. I want to focus on that. Sometimes I'll get into the negative, my friends have this beach house. They have a nice house here and then they have this beach house they go to in the summer. And, you know, I start comparing myself to the have more than me's, you know. That's not good either. Do I have a lovely place to live? I do. I do. And there isn't any reason to focus on what I don't have. All it does is make me unhappy. And I don't want to be unhappy anymore. I really, really want to live in the light. And I think gratitude is all about every day we take steps. Though gratitude isn't just for a rote thing that you tell your sponsor, I'm grateful for these things. It's really being focused on those things and being making a choice to focus on those things instead of the negative things. You know, there's the acceptance is the answer, that wonderful story in the Big Book where he says, you know, I think his wife was Maxine or something. Anyway, he said, when I focus on her good qualities, they seem to get bigger. And when I focus on her bad qualities, they get bigger. And I really think that is true across the board. You know, it's certainly true in most relationships. If I focus on the good, it gets bigger. It enhances. So really, that is the way I want to live. And I think the reason we talk about negative thinking is that it's a terribly dark place to live. And I can go there easily. I can go there easily. I'll give you the nutshell version. But my older brother died when he was 26. And then my 16-year-old daughter was killed. And then my husband, my mother committed suicide right after that. And then my husband had a terrible long death from cancer. And then my other brother died. And so, I mean, I could stay there and say, well, poor me, it isn't even worth trying. Everybody I love dies, you know? No, if I stay there, I might as well take my own life. You know, I don't want to live that way. So what I choose is that I still have, first, I have my daughters and my granddaughters, and I love all of them, and they're still in my life. And I have friends, and I have all of you. And that has been life-changing for me. People say, what's the best thing? It's not losing 150 pounds, which was amazing, but that's not the best part. The best part is that we have this amazing fellowship, and we do it together. None of us are on our own. I didn't do well on my own. I really didn't do well on my own. But with all of you, this miracle happened. So I don't look at my addiction and say, well, fooey on this, I can't have this, and I can't go out here and can't have go out drinking, can't party, blah, you know, I could do all that. Or I could focus on this amazing physical recovery, emotional recovery, and spiritual recovery, and that it's ongoing. I expect as I keep doing what I'm told to do from this program, it'll get better and better. And I love that. It has so far, every year. Every year it's gotten a little bit better. So I am grateful it isn't enough of a word, really, for the change that's happened in me. And I know in most of you even, it's just wonderful, wonderful to be here. And I wanted to close with a passage that was very apt in this little treasure of a book. It's called Privileged People, and it's from a Grapevine article. I saw that I had been living too much alone, too much aloof from my fellows, and too deaf to that voice within. Instead of seeing myself as a simple agent bearing the message of experience, I had thought of myself as a founder of AA. How much better it would have been had I felt gratitude rather than self-satisfaction. Gratitude that I had once suffered the pains of alcoholism. Gratitude that a miracle of recovery has been worked upon me from above. Gratitude for the privilege of serving my fellow alcoholics, and gratitude for those fraternal ties which bound me ever closer to them in a comradeship such as few societies of men, and I would add women, have ever known. Truly did a clergyman say to me, your misfortune has become your good fortune. You AAs and I, we compulsive order, we're a privileged people. So thank you. Thank you. What?
That was from As Bill Sees It. And what page is it on?
133.
133, As Bill Sees It.
Yeah.
You wanted to see it.
Thank you. Okay.
Hi, I'm Mary, compulsive eater. Sometimes I get called Mary Kay because there's a couple Marys in San Diego, but mostly I'm Mary. We have to tell you a story. Susan asked Kendall to speak, and she asked me to speak. She had no idea that Kendall is my sponsor. Of all the people in this, hundreds of people, she asked the two of us. So I was totally, she didn't even know we knew each other, I don't think.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, she didn't even know we knew each other. So, brief qualification. I was a kid who weighed, 160 out of high school, 180 out of college, 3 years out of college. I was over 200 pounds. My top weight was 234. And I was, I have gained and lost. In usually it's between a 60 to 90 pound weight swing. The worst of it was I gained 90 pounds in 6 months. I mean, that's really primitive eating. It's bulimic eating without purging, really, is what it is. I was saying to somebody, I can remember the days when I felt like my skin was stretching overnight. I lost track of the number of people asking me if I was pregnant at a time in my life when I really wanted to be married and pregnant and have kids and all that. So there is an extraordinary amount of pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization in my past related to this. And as all of you know, because many of you are of close to my generation, either before or after, we came from a time when it was not okay to be overweight. Now there's a little more quite a bit more acceptance of it. But back then, it was a heavy duty shame spiral to be gaining and losing that much weight, a lot. So I have been abstinent for a little more than 7 years now, maintaining a 77 pound weight loss. But I came into the Other Food Fellowship, the big one, back in 1989. So, and I have 7 years right now. That tells you I spent a lot. So for anyone who has struggled with chronic relapse, I feel your pain and I have been there. So to the topic, a couple things I was thinking, just as Kendall was talking, I was thinking about the word grateful and just phonetically great and full. Like that would be the opposite of what we are in the disease. Like we're empty and not feeling so great, right? And so now we're great and we're full. Well, what are we full of? You know, hopefully we're full of, and it's so hard. How do I say this? When your brain, that, you know, I think it's the primitive part of your brain, your amygdala, whatever it is that makes us crave food so intensely. It is really hard to imagine that anything other than the buffet table is really going to make us feel full. You know, at least when I was, and especially when I had relapsed, you know, multiple times, it was just so hard to really feel that someday a weighed and measured food plan would be enough. And I will say I am really grateful to the folks in AA because I heard some of them talk at one point and they had really dark stories, you know, dark stories, prison and losing their children and drinking even though they lost their children, and they got better. And especially they got better, the ones I heard, you know, who really dove into the big book. And I remember thinking in the darkness of my days is, if they can get better with all they had going on, I can get better. And then I had to take what I learned from them and combine it with our program because it didn't work for me to try to do their program for my disease. That didn't work. I had to do both things. And that's kind of what worked for me. So back to grateful and to humility, like there's a lot of steps between on your face in the disease and grateful. And usually it's about 9 steps, steps 1 through 9, right? But, and you know, the 6 and 7 steps, you know, what we're talking about, humility, willingness, all that to get to gratitude. I looked this up because it's one of my favorite quotes and it's kind of in a weird place. It took me a while to find it. In the AA 12 and 12, it's in step 5. And I had to go find the page. It's page 58. Which is weird. Like, why isn't it step 5? That's where they ended up with it. It says humility. It's step 4, I think. Humility amounts to who and what we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to be what we can be. Who and what we really are. Let me just get to the, another great dividend we may expect from combining our defects to another human being. Okay, it is step 5. Is humility, a word often misunderstood. To those who have made progress in AA, it amounts to a clear recognition of who and what we really are, followed by a sincere attempt to become what we could be. And it's interesting, it doesn't say a sincere attempt to do what we could do, because some of us are doers. And I many times would spin myself compulsively doing, trying to be the best, do the best, have the best, whatever the best was, I would spin myself like a top right into a slip, right into a crash, spin and spin and spin and spin and poof, crash. And so this is who we are, our beingness, not about our doingness. And, you know, I know a lot of people in this fellowship who are, it's not unusual for us to be nurses, teachers, counselors, like the caregiver professions. We're loaded with that in here. And for us to stop and to accept that taking care of myself will ultimately make me 1,000% more useful to everyone around me than like binging my way through trying to do more. And I would echo a little bit something that Kendall said. We've been talking about this. We talked about this in the business conference, that the village, like when I talk to people now, and even if I talk to a healthcare provider about our program, I always say, and I am grateful for this, that I have lost this weight, I've maintained this weight loss, and I have a village. Because let me tell you something, a lot of people don't have any kind of a village in this society anymore, and especially since COVID. I mean, a village in this day and age is a miraculous thing. So many people don't have it. And I know that, you know, a lot of us, we saw that during COVID. We saw how lucky we were to have these built-in connections. I mean, PhoneBridge, it was all set up, you know? Like, whereas there were other people who weren't talking to anybody for weeks on end. And even our in-person, I mean, Zoom saved our lives, you know, those meetings. So all those things kind of lead me to being grateful. And I'll just say one more thing about gratitude. And I heard this once during a sermon someone said, and they talked about whenever we're feeling ungrateful, in the pity pot, you know, feeling down, our frame is usually like 5x7, maybe, if we're lucky, that small. But if we can reframe the picture and make the picture a lot bigger. And, you know, I worked in Africa when I was in my 20s. And so I've been in with people who were suffering in famine. So, you know, it's ironic that I went and did that as a compulsive eater. But All I have to do is enlarge that frame, and you could pick anything right now in current affairs, and you would find that we could pick anything, any country. I mean, almost. There is so much going on out there, and all of us are fed, housed, clothed. We're fed and watered. We're, you know what I mean? Like, and you could just go on from that. And so when I am prone to depression, it's been almost dead. It's really important for me to think about the bigger picture frame and start looking in other places where realizing how utterly blessed I really am. A pass. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And I am so grateful for all of you being here, all of us being here together. I'm also grateful for the business conference that just ended yesterday afternoon. We got a lot of work done. We really came together. There was magic, and there was realness, and we have new things in our food plan. Not too exciting, but. And, you know, and we worked through hard stuff, and then something that didn't get resolved is going to go to committee, and we'll see what happens next year, and not on our timeline sometimes. So, great gratitude. Maybe I'll just quickly qualify. September 2nd is my abstinence date. It'll be 18 years if a day at a time, I get to that this year. And, you know, that's amazing. I actually started my commitment to true recovery and way to measure no flour, no sugar recovery in another program, very close, but even more restrictive and insane, actually, in ways that CHOW is so compassionate and welcoming and that. So I'm so grateful for CHOW. I was 5.5 years in that program, and I was over 200 pounds. I'm maintaining 80-pound weight release. This is the size I was when I was 14, and I had not seen it again until I chose recovery. And I'm 65, so there you go. This is miracle in action. This program, my life as I get to live it today. And I needed to have lost all hope and, you know, recognize. And I've been introduced to OA, our original 12-step recovery program, in the early 80s. And I went to it, but one of the things they said was, take what you like and leave the rest. And man, did I leave most of it. And what that meant was, you know, I was abstinent from sugar and only ate 3 meals a day when I was abstinent. But I wasn't abstinent a lot of the time because life happened and food was the answer. And food presented itself and food was the answer. My compulsion was just, it was a progressive disease for me. And I heard about that other program where I started, and it was I'm from the San Francisco Bay Area, and it was very big in the Bay Area. So there were tons of in-person meetings, and I miss having in-person meetings. They're not in the Bay Area and for CHOW. And what I saw was people with a light in their eye and a clarity in the way they spoke, who had lost a lot of weight and kept it off for years, and I had hope. I didn't know that I could do it, but I had hope. And what I did was I said, I'm going to do what they have been doing, and like proper use of will. I'll figure out how to live my life without stuffing my face all the time. Commit my food, eat it at appropriate times, and push myself away from the table. And somehow I did. And, you know, the idea of higher power has been a challenge for me. And yet something was happening. So, you know, I had a spiritual awakening, even though I kept on grappling with the religious basis of so much of our reading and our prayers and God and He and Father and, you know, and those kind of things make me go, no. And I've been settled on the idea of 12-step recovery in general, the model, and see how in particular are my higher power. That's the easiest place for me to settle because there's no pushback on that for me. And, you know, it gives me a design for living. It gives me a way to work through challenging times and issues. And, you know, it's simple for me to say that's my higher power. I have been challenged by some things that happened. I have two adult daughters. They're in their 30s. And I got incredibly angry at my younger daughter who had borrowed my car, called up and said the tire exploded. She was going to pick up a friend. My older daughter took me down to where the car and the younger daughter were. I said, you go get the friend, go up and eat lunch. I had eaten my lunch early, so that wasn't a big deal. You know, we were hosting everybody at our house. And then I discovered, oh, it wasn't just a tire. She creamed the front end of my car. I mean, there were metal bars. I thought it was the axle. It was, you know, anyway, it's like a major repair, not a new tire. And I got angry. And anger was my, you know, besides for food, anger was my go-to thing to not feel so defeated. You know, it gave me a false feeling of power. And it kept people at bay, too. I mean, it really did work, you know, in a not higher-powered way, I guess we could say. Anyway, I got angry, and they were driving back up the hill with having picked up the friend, headed to our house, and I flagged them down, and my anger came out. My, you know, it was at the driver window, so I'm talking across her to my younger daughter, who, as it turned out, I had discovered a big rock in the road, and she ran over a rock. I thought she actually brought it down from the neighbor's landscaping, but apparently it was in the road when she ran over it. Anyway, and it was just, you know, it's really effed up. It's not a, you know, an exploded tire, blown tire. It's effed up. And I did not say effed. And I stormed back across the street where the car was, and my older daughter said, you don't talk to my sister that way. You didn't even ask her how she was. And at that point, I couldn't, you know, recalculate or recalibrate my emotions. I said, go, drive, go. And that was, you know, that was old stuff for me, but it's there. It's not, you know, I have so much recovery. I have so much recovery. And in that particular interaction, it took me 3 days. I knew I had to go there. I knew I was headed there. Oh my gosh, I don't have much time left. That I needed to apologize to my younger daughter. I was still angry at my older daughter for telling me what to do or not to do. But it took me 3 days. But I knew I was headed there. And that is recovery. I was able to, with absolute authenticity and you know, heartfelt, you know, words, I am so sorry. I'm sorry it took me 3 days to get to, you know, to apologize. But I am so sorry and I love you. And you know, we healed. And then the day before I was leaving for conference, I finally talked to my older daughter, and she said, "Mom, your anger triggered your anger from 15 years ago. I was 3 years in recovery, and abstinent for 3 years, and she had come home from graduating from college, and spending 8 months in New Zealand, and I thought I was done being her mommy." And she came home. She didn't know what was next. She was coming and going and leaving her messes. And I started raging, raging. We ended up, the whole family went to family counseling because of my raging. And I thought that was in the past. I mean, I did not feel good about what I did, but I thought we had healed that. She said, I have not healed that. That triggered all of that for me. And my heart just sank. I mean, I felt ill, but I knew that I needed to hear her. I couldn't say too much except I thank you for letting me know. And then I called her yesterday and I said, I have not forgotten this, that you know, what you told me, and I want us to be able to talk about it and work through it. And, you know, that's the imperfection of being human. You know, I have tons of recovery. I have the capacity to say this kind of thing to my daughter and not be sure I can show up as she fully needs me to be, but I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to talk about it with my sponsor and my trusted fellows, and I'm going to talk about it at this level that's being recorded, because this is what recovery is about, too. And I've lost grateful from it, but I am so grateful for this whole process and the chance to share it. So there we go. I didn't know that that's what I was going to say. So, this is a workshop. You do not need to be abstinent to share. If you just want to ask a question, that's an option too. But I have a feeling there are people that might want to share on the topic of gratitude. We ask all who share to actually sign a release, because this is being recorded, and once it's edited, it will eventually go on our website for all to listen to. So we'll ask for a release that's good. I lost my place. Be mindful of our tradition of anonymity. So no full names, no photographs, no recordings, except for this one. And don't refer to other 12-step programs or outside issues. So that's the microphone you'll use. Who would like to go? Thank you. We're going to do a two-minute time, and I'll let you in 2 minutes are up, and you can wrap up at that point. And I see Marty.
Hi, my name is Marty. I'm a compulsive eater living in recovery. And I just have something that was recently came up that made me feel so grateful. So I'm just going to focus on that. There was a time in my life when I weighed 200 pounds more than I weigh now. And I didn't lose all of that in CHEL, but, you know, like stories we've heard over the years, it's been a journey. But this is the first time in my life that I've maintained it. So since getting to my goal weight that my doctor set for me in October of 2020, I have stayed within that range. So I have recently planned a trip to Europe. I've never been. And if any of you have heard of the Camino de Santiago, I'm going to be doing that with a couple of friends. Not the whole thing, but we're doing a portion of it. And so we're training and we're hiking. And recently we went on a hike. I live in Northern California. We went to a lake that's between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe. And we went on a hike that is 3 miles in and 3 miles out. So 6 miles altogether. But at the end, it had a little elevation to it. We were using our walking sticks. We were wearing backpacks because this is what we need to do to train for the Camino. At the end of those 3 miles was the most beautiful waterfall I've ever seen. The only way you can get there is walking. That's it. You can't drive there. And I stood there in awe, realizing that 6-7 years ago, I would not have been there. I wouldn't have seen that beautiful sight. And it was so full of gratitude for my body getting me to that place where I could see that beautiful thing. That's it. Thanks.
Marty.
Hello, everyone. My name is Annette, and I'm a grateful member. Thank you.
Ed?
Compulsive eater, too.
A little closer?
Okay. There's so much gratitude. I just want to thank everybody that was on the panel. I mean, I just learned so much, and I just want to share a little story. You know, I come to these things from far away. You know, I live very far, and I think every year maybe it's not going to be the year that I'm going to make it, but I always seem to make it, and that's I'm very grateful for that. And I came into these rooms, into this room this morning, thinking, not knowing what to expect, you know, and last night I was talking to one of my sponsors, and I was sharing my story about everything that was happening about for me, you know. And I went to bed that night, and I didn't even ask what was happening with her, you know. And I'm like, well, I'll do it. And I walked into this room, and I heard everything that was happening with her. And it just made me feel like this is the where I need to be. It doesn't matter how far I need to travel or where I need to go or where I'm going to get the money. It's always going to happen. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm so grateful to be one of these members. I've been in program for a long time. And I'm super, super happy, you know, and grateful. And I'm glad you're all here. So thank you very much.
Annette? Don't be shy.
I'll try to keep my composure. Hi, I'm Shannon. I'm definitely a real hard compulsive eater. And I'm really grateful to be here today. I just like suddenly got super emotional. But I'm really grateful because I've been kind of stomping around just a little bit. Just that inner kid that I'm like, I spent $400 to be in service. I'm downstairs, and I just continue to volunteer, and, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot to get this convention together. It's a lot to trust and honor the people behind me, and what I know right now is that I just needed to be here and show up for myself in gratitude and here. What other people have to say too. And you know what? That's worth $400 today. Because just like what has already been shared, you know, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be in this normal size. I wouldn't be able to go to the boutique and like try on different things and share. And most is just seeing everybody's creativity. Seeing everybody hug and share from a place that is so deep that I know that I covered so many times with other things, and that it's this endless like vacuum that can't be tangibly filled. It has to be filled with stories from you guys. It has to be filled with my own walk, those own steps that I keep taking, and some of the tantrums that happen. So thanks for allowing me to share.
Hi, I'm Lois. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Lois.
Oh, you guys are amazing. You guys are amazing. We all are. And what I'm going to talk about is when I first came into program, it's called Language of the Heart, and it's the language of culture of 12-step. My sponsor and I were talking. We're roommates. And my first sponsor loved me enough to tell me the truth. And she taught me about gratitude because I came up to her always whining. And, if you had my life, you know, the salute. And she said, do you, and she was funny. She said, do you have a roof over your head? I said, yeah. And she says, do you have a floor under your feet? I said, yeah. She said, I mean, it just is a like wood or something or carpeting. I went, yeah. I started to, She says, do you have a bed to sleep in? Yeah. Do you have sheets? Yeah. Do you have some mode of transportation? Some people don't own a car. Yes, I do. And it's a nice one. And she said, do you have a purpose. Now, I thought she meant my job. And I was gifted with an artistic talent. And it was God-given because they saw it when I was 5 years old. Okay, enough of that. But she meant, when I came to understand later, a purpose. And it grew. Let's put it that way. And that's what program... we don't always dress it up, you know, and we take off the kid gloves. We tell you the truth. And for me, that was wonderful. I like that because I came from a culture. My parents were first generation American. English wasn't their first language. And they came from people who are immigrants are usually fleeing hardship. They were fleeing, extinction. And so they were tough. And there wasn't a lot of time for love and huggies and warm fuzzies or anything like that. I didn't really know about gratitude. It was survival. So I learned it here with my fellows. Thank you.
Michael, compulsive eater. And thank you. And, you know, it's interesting. We get a set of tools and I daily live in 11, 12, and 10. And what I mean by that is, 11 is, God, what's your will for me? And give me the power to carry it out. Because today, my will for me is not to be here. I'm much too important to be doing any of this. And then 12 is, when I'm doing God's will, be a good example. Because if I act like not well, I have a better word for it, but someone walks in, sees me acting like that, and then walks into a meeting and sees me in that meeting, they're like, why am I going to join a program where this is the person who, ends up there? And then the last thing is 10, I will make mistakes. I'm going to screw up. It's the curse of being human. But, Not in any of those steps does it say I'm supposed to beat myself up. I'm supposed to, live in shame and anger. And, it's interesting because when I woke up this morning, my will for me was to stay in bed all day. And it happens. Most days I go against my will. Sometimes God's will and my will are aligned. But I'm grateful that I was given a set of tools. And more so than that, within these rooms, I was given a language with the traditions to get along with other people. I mean, the fact that people I hear say, stay for the miracle. I'm like, you've been in a room with a bunch of compulsive eaters for 5 minutes and no one broke out any food. That's a miracle. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Karen N., compulsive eater. And thank you so much, panel. I love all these people. I've been in contact with all of them, and they are always just a great... if you need to make an outreach call, call these guys. They've helped me so much through all of my years in program. And as I look out, God, I see so many people that I know from meetings and back in the day. Oh my God. I've been in program 30 years. I came in 1995 and, I've learned so much, but what I know is this is where I find love and acceptance. This is how I've changed and become somebody who is not always in self-pity and misery. I have that attitude of gratitude, and it's because of being in this program. And I've had so many great sponsors who've told me how to do that. And one of the things that works for me is to write 3 things I'm grateful for every day, write them out, and they have to be different, or as much different as you can, just not the same old ones. Because I, when I first heard about writing out gratitudes, I ended up writing the same things over and over and over. Health and family and blah, blah, blah. But if I'm just looking at, like they were saying, focus on what is great and going on around you. And so, yesterday when I was writing my gratitudes, I'm grateful I'm at the convention. I'm grateful to be a member of CHOW. I'm grateful for the meetings and the talent show and everybody that is here. I'm just so grateful. And I also, one of the other things I learned was to write, because I'm the depressive, you know, self-pitying type. So I have to write things I love about myself. And that's another thing I do. I also write one thing I love about my husband. And because otherwise I will focus on all the things that drive me crazy, but I remember that he's a good guy. He does this, he does that. And so I don't know what my time is. Is time done? Thank you so much. Love you. Keep coming back.
Good morning. I'm Kelly from New Jersey. There's a few Kellys, compulsive eater. There are so my every time I hear someone else speak, my mind changes about what I want to say. Oh, sorry. So I'm not even sure if my thoughts will come out the way I want them to. But my gratitude for being here, and it kind of took me over. You know, I smoked, I drank, I ate, I shopped. All of these things were going to make me feel better about myself, and none of them did. And coming in to see how, you know, the weight came right off when you're dedicated, and that didn't make me feel better about myself. Having the sponsorship that I've had and the patience that my sponsors have given me to finally grow up in my, you know, at this age, and to learn how to, you know, you can't give what you don't have. So I can be loving, but if I don't love myself, I'm really not genuinely caring and loving about others. And see how going through the steps and the questions that we have in our booklets has taught me how to be humble and honest and open and to let go of the past. It took me, you know, 58 years to let go of my past. To let go of the complaining through kind and loving sponsorship. It's gone. And now I feel like I can start new and really truly be a person who loves others and cares for others because I've learned how to love myself in this program. And that's not because of, you know, letting go of food. That's because of the honesty and the joy and the sharing of others' journeys with us, with me, through sponsorship. So thank you. Thanks for letting me share.
Kelly?
Hi, I'm Susan. I'm a compulsive eater. And for me, I am grateful. When I came, this was my first year as a delegate at the conference. And Wednesday night, everything in my body was said, book a flight, go home tomorrow. Just bail on this. You've done something you should not have done. Just leave. And I was talking, I'm really grateful because Thursday before things started, I was talking with my sponsor and she says, well, let's just go. And if you don't like it, you can always leave. You know, because I had heard horror stories about what the conference was like. And I'm not one who likes confrontation and contentious and fighting and bickering and instigating. And that was my preconceived notion. It was totally the opposite. It was cohesive. It was cooperative. It was collaborative. And I was amazed before I was halfway through, you know? And I was even inspired to throw my hat in for the board. Never thought that was happening, you know? So now I've entered in new era and level of, oh my God, what am I doing? But I'm grateful that this weekend has really been magical. Everything that I thought was going to be, you know, when we were traveling here, we were delayed, and I was traveling with a gal from Phoenix. I'm from Phoenix, and we were on the same flight. So she's like, oh, it's an adventure. So let's just, we have to wait 2.5 hours. Okay. We walked around the airport and we did 8,000 steps. You know what I mean? It's just been magical and totally, you know, the opposite of what I was thinking. And I'm really grateful to be here. I always love to come to the convention. I am from LA and I really miss being here. And I love seeing everyone when I come, you know. And I've been met with such kindness and confidence in me when I don't have it for myself that I'm going to be fine. You're going to do great. So just that kind of love and encouragement and compassion and fellowship and hugs, and I'm done. Thanks.
We have to start a new cage.
Hello, everybody. Cindy, compulsive eater. Thank you to the panel. I've been rolling around these rooms for a long time, and it took me a long time to realize that this is a spiritual program, and I have to stay in gratitude. I have a story to share. I had a falling out with my brother about a little over a year ago, and I come from a pretty close family. Well, dysfunctionally close. I don't know if that makes any sense to any of you, but, you know, And you go back to your childhood, right? He's my younger brother. Well, he started it. It's his fault. I'm not, you know. And I would just take direction from my sponsor and from others. And Wednesday I was in an area I'm not usually in. And I was buying some things. And somebody said, hey, is this being used? And I turned around and it was my brother. And we were able to hug and talk and like nothing happened. My brother is a professional comedian, so we kind of like fall into that routine that he and I usually do when we were little, and I was so grateful. And if I wasn't abstinent and working a program of recovery and forgiveness, I don't know if that would have happened. I probably would have wanted to make sure that he knew what he did and why, and I want to, you know, there's a part of me that wants to argue, but I also want to fix it. I want a sitcom ending. I want things to be smooth and easy, and life is not that way. When we were growing up, my father would say, the fair's in Pomona. I wanted life to be fair, and I wanted my brother to say right then and there, you know what, I'm so sorry, and that didn't happen, but it was a beautiful reunion. I'm very grateful to this fellowship. I've been around over 35 years, and I'm still here. Whether absent or not, we're all welcome, and I hope I'm here. And time no longer on this earth, I'm grateful to all of you. Thank you for my recovery. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
We have time.
Judy Kay, Grateful Compulsive Eater, and hi, everyone. I want to reiterate, what a great panel. Really touched my heart. What I want to say is I found that gratitude is so powerful in transforming my thoughts. So I noticed about a year ago that I woke up and I was like, grumble, grumble, grumble. And I found this app, and you list three things that you're grateful for every day on this app. Of course, we do it in our writing. And I was sitting in the chair with this grumbling, and I said out loud three things I was grateful for. And I looked around my room. The room had changed. All of a sudden, it was bright, and it looked light and cheery. And I feel like that is the power. And so now, throughout the day, when I can catch those thoughts, those negative thoughts, and I especially get them when I'm hungry or I'm tired, I can say, stop. What am I grateful for? And there's so many things, like they've shared, that I can be grateful for. And I found that that has really helped me change from being negative to positive. And I'm so grateful to see all of you, my old and new friends. It really means so much to me because all of our meetings now in Vegas have gone on Zoom and PhoneBridge, and I miss seeing all of you. Thanks for letting me share.
I had to bring the microphone way down here. Anyway, I'm grateful for that. I'm Margaret, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I'm from San Diego. What am I grateful for? Well, I'm going to tell you. I was one of those angry people that got off on being angry all the time. I had things happen to me that I was ungrateful for. Like life's on life's terms. That's what was upsetting me. And I'm just going to tell you what it is. And I've survived. I had a stillborn baby, and I have a daughter with cerebral palsy, and she's totally involved. And it took me a really long time to get over that. I kind of got over the baby dying before I got over the child that survived. In fact, I'm going to tell you some of the horrible thoughts I had. Why did she live and why didn't that one die? And blah, 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 blah. Because I was going through all those emotional turmoils where I thought of everything. Why me? Anyway, I'm going to flip it now. So I beat my head on the wall for 30 years. I'm an addict on the most part, you know. I never was a drinker, but I needed speed because I was depressed and I didn't know how to eat when I got off, okay? Oh, I thought you were somebody else. I was going to say, oh, I didn't know you were. Sorry. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. I used to bang my head on the wall for 30 years and my daughter in the wheelchair was happier than me. And it took me a really long time to see that. And finally, I saw it. And that was my turning point. So I got to say this. You got to find the good and the bad. My mama told me that when I was a little girl. It didn't make sense. I didn't understand it. But it makes sense today. And frankly, the whole thing of me seeing her being happier than me was such a big turning point. You know, I really got into gratitude. And I got to tell this one, too. I used to pray the prayer, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, 24 hours a day, all day long. And nothing happened. I never got a response. And then one day I said, oh, yeah, I think I'm supposed to pray. Thank you. And I started praying, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then 2 weeks went by and I realized I hadn't been praying. And as God's got a sense of humor, he woke me up and he made me realize that he was listening to me all along. And I haven't had that anxiety that went with that all last 10 years. Thank you.
Margaret?
Margaret?
We have time for one more share, please.
Okay. Yeah. I'll do a quickie.
I missed the wig.
John, compulsive eater. Hey, you should have been here a few years ago when I took my clothes off and had Speedos and danced around. And yeah. But as a 73-year-old, I think I have to stop that. So... You know, they'll put me in jail. Okay, yeah. I just want to say I pitch gratitude. You know, I'm not one that gets up and prays on a regular basis, but I do want to thank the phone bridge because that's what I do. I wake up, and it might be 4 a.m., and it might be 5:30. 5:30 sleeping in. So, you know, some of you, that's how I've gotten to meet you. Kendall, man. It's so good to see you and hear you. Yeah, and we've had many conversations, you know, both from Pennsylvania, anyhow. I just, you know, I'm grateful for this program and just doing the 12-step work over the years because I'll tell you, I used to play the violin, you know. Oh, poor me, poor me. Pour me a drink and stuff me with food and the whole nine yards. And, you know, today it's not like that. And, you know, I'm happy, joyous, and free most of the time. I was not prior to the talent show yesterday. I was kind of freaking out. And one of my friends here from, said to me, or I said, man, I'm stressed out. And she says, just turn it over to God. And, you know, that's what I ended up having to do. And everything worked out all right. But, you know, we got tools here to do that. And people to, you know, we're not all, you know, thank God we're not all crazy on the same day. And so, you know, when one of us isn't crazy, the other one can help us and give us direction. And, you know, and so many of you have made life, you know, has given me tools to get through life. And, you know, today, for the most part, you know, I'm happy, joyous, and free. I'm grateful for good health. You know, I don't take any medications. I rode my bicycle here with all my gear on the back of it. You know, I got this big, heavy old mountain bike, and I just chugged along. It only took me a couple hours. Went into the grocery store, ran into a 94-year-old that I didn't know he was that old. He says, "Wow, where'd you come from?" You know, I took my bike in the store, and I said, "Oh, I just rode from home, and I'm going to the..." He said, "Wow, I couldn't do that." But he said, "Well, you're about 70-something, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I guess when I was your age, I could do all that stuff." But and I said, "Well, how old are you, sir?" He says, 94. And I thought, holy mackerel, no walker, no nothing, you know, just in carrying, you know, just like shopping with a bag and, you know, just doing his thing, probably drove there. And I mean, I said, "Man, sir, I want what you have." But, you know, there's hope if I stay in this room. We all have hope. Anyhow, thank you.
Well, I think we could continue for a long time, but we are out of time. Thank you so much, every one of you, for being here. Oh, let's close with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Done.